You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the Gold Standard Podcast. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera here with a very special guest on this Wednesday because Grant Cohn was traveling from the league meeting, so we couldn't do it at our normal time. So I'm very pleased and privileged to be joined by Marco Martinez of Clutch Gene Sports on YouTube. What's up, Marco?
What's up? What's up, man? I swear, every time I'm on with someone, I'm either replacing some big shoes. It's ridiculous. Y'all be putting me in these very hard predicaments having to replace Grant, man. That's crazy.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to do just fine. Just say something wildly ridiculous at some point and you'll fit in just fine.
Perfect.
It'll be like he never left. Make sure you like and subscribe to the Gold Standard YouTube channel and to Clutch Gene Sports. I promise it will make you a better, smarter fan. We got a couple different things to get to on the show today, Marco. Jed York is at the league meetings. He did some talking, said some interesting things, said some things about Brock Purdy, said some things about the 49ers in general and sort of his definition of success and how he defines success. We're going to get to that in a minute, but I wanted to start with what he said about Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy's contract, because that seems to be the big discussion point. Is that Brock Purdy is going to get paid after the year and the 49ers have to do all this preparations for it. And so I want to first, let me get to a broad point with you. Are you 100% convinced right now that the 49ers should pay Brock Purdy after 2024?
No, I'm not. I mean, we're looking at Brock, right? In the terms of a great, very good quarterback, right? But we've seen 1 year him get injured during the NFC Championship against the Eagles. Last year, played well in the playoffs. I thought he played phenomenal in the NFC Championship, leading that comeback, come from behind win against the Detroit Lions. But when you're looking at Brock, right, you needed your quarterback to play great in the Super Bowl, and he didn't do that for me. So I'm not 100% sold. I'm not convinced that he's the go-to guy or he's the guy of the future. I've only seen one season of it. Like, we've only truly seen one season, and I get it was a great one season, but we can't, like – the way I look at it is we saw Jimmy for 5 games, right? Niners got overexcited. They paid him. We saw how that ended out. Let's truly see Brock double it up on 2 years and see how great he could respond. Your season is only as good as the following season, in my opinion. You can't put together an MVP-like season and then follow it up with a mediocre season, and then next thing you know, we're paying Brock Purdy $40 million off of one season, and he's not that guy. So for me, I really like Brock. I think he's a really, really good quarterback. but I'm not 100% sold. I'm not convinced that he's the 49ers quarterback of the future and that he's the franchise quarterback. Are you 100% sold on him? You're muted.
Man, I do that once a show. Absolutely not. I am not 100% sold on it. I feel like you are the only other person that's like me out there, especially among content creators. I am not 100% sold. What if he gets hurt next year? Are you really going to commit $50 million to him? Or what if he just has a bad year? Like you said, I've seen one good season from Brock Purdy. That is not enough for me. I have been just crushed by 49er fans because I have said that I need to see 2 years from a guy before I say that this is my franchise quarterback. And I would say that with anybody, not just Brock, with Trey, with Jimmy, anybody. And so 49er fans come at me with the torches and pitchforks, but I'm with you. I am not locked in and convinced right now that, yes, no matter what happens next year, Brock Purdy should get what's probably going to cost between $40 and $50 million a year.
And the only way you could pay a quarterback that much money is if you're 100% convinced. Now, what's crazy is we hear Jed York talking about it prematurely, in my opinion. Like, why you're throwing out these numbers and you're essentially giving Brock Purdy's agent all the leverage in the world, because when that negotiation comes, we've seen the Niners negotiate in certain ways with other players where they play hardball and they don't really want to negotiate in good faith. And that's why some of these players have gone towards the media, Debo, Ayuk now. But as soon as that Brock Purdy contract comes up, his agent's going to be like, wait, Jed, remember when you said you're not worried about paying him $40 million or whatever it has to cost to keep him on your team? I personally think he screwed up saying that. Like, you're overspeaking, just like he did before the Super Bowl, where he came out and started speaking about how the Niners were going to win and how Brock was going to play great and how Kyle loved him and XYZ. I don't agree with him coming out now speaking about how great of a quarterback he is and how he demands $40+ million.
I think John Lynch learned his lesson when he said, oh, Nick Bosa has already been budgeted for. And then he found out, well, wait a minute, that's music to Nick Bosa's agent's ears. Lynch has been very careful with what he said about Ayuk. He always talks about how they've got other expensive players on the team and how it takes two to tango and all that stuff. But Jed York comes out at the owners' meetings, and it's kind of a long quote, but I'll read it anyway. He said, quote, I think it's a good problem when your quarterback is one of your highest paid guys on your team and in the league. It's not like Brock is going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before. You have, I don't know how many players making over $40 million as a quarterback right now. When we signed Jimmy several years ago, it was the largest deal in the history of the NFL for 3 minutes. Whether I like it or not, that's what the market is. You have to accept the reality of the world. To me, the quarterback is the most important position, not just in football, but in all of sports. Those guys should be paid a lot of money. I mean, that could have come from Brock Purdy's agent's mouth, Marco.
And that's what's crazy is he mentions Jimmy Garoppolo, right? He mentions that contract. It's like there's no reason to bring that up, because if I'm a agent, first thing I'm saying is, remember when you said Jimmy deserved it? I'm pretty sure Brock has better statistics, better metrics, film, everything. So like, I don't think Brock's the answer. I really don't. But at the end of the day, if the owner's saying this, the owner must speak very highly of him. The coaching staff, John Lynch, must see view him at a high level. But you're giving the agent all the leverage in the world when it comes to this contract. He could come up and ask for $60 million at his starting number, because the right now 55 is Joe Burrow leading the way. So he could come in at 60, 65 million. And what's Jed going to say? That's not too much. He literally said the quarterback deserves to be the highest paid player in the NFL or on the team. And I think that's a big mistake. I really do.
Yeah, the fact that he was just like, it's not even that difficult. You know, that's the market rate. Like, on the one hand, it was nice to hear, because I love that he's willing to cut checks. Like, he has shown that he is willing to cut checks, which is great. But yeah, I feel like he is kind of taking the ammo out of the 49ers side of things. On the other hand, as Golden Dragon points out, the longer Brock waits, the more he gets paid, which is true, because those contracts are only going up. But I would pay that extra money for more information. And what I mean by that is I would be willing to wait on Brock, let him play out this year, franchise tag him once, maybe even twice, because the longer I wait to give out that long-term deal, the more information I have on Brock. So the more certain I could be about the person I'm going to give all this money to. So I will pay that extra cost because I will have more information in the meantime.
Yeah, and absolutely. When you do that too, like, so you're going to give them that franchise tag, obviously, after the next year. So not this year, but the following year. And what that allows you to do is not only see what Brock truly is, like, you're going to be able to see what he is. Now, Brock won't play under that fourth year. It's only going to be $4.9, roughly $5 million because of the escalation on play, which is dirt cheap for a quarterback. But if you're truly looking to expand that window, and you're always talking about how the window's so big to win a championship, you got to actually put that into consideration. If you're telling Brandon Ayuk, hey, we're willing to let you play on the fifth year because we understand how expensive other players are, what it does for the Niners, Rob, is it allows you to build the roster even more around Brock. It allows you to look at the future. Is he the answer? But the biggest thing is, do you only pay Brock Purdy $40 million plus is if when you're expecting that roster to get weaker around him, can he carry the team? And I think that's the biggest question is, can he carry the team with the depleted roster? Like Josh Allen right now, they just lost in the Bills. They just lost a ton of talent. How does he respond? He's an elite quarterback. We've already seen that. But is Brock Purdy that?
No. I don't think, like, he's not in Josh Allen's class. I don't think he is. And that's not a knock on Brock Purdy. That's Josh Allen is amazingly freaking good. And Golden Dragon says you can't wait that long. Yes, you can. Why can't I? Like, if Brock Purdy wants to hold out, then let him hold out. Draft a quarterback this year. You know, basically, like, prepare for that possibility. And if Brock wants to hold out, great. Congratulations, Brock. Enjoy holding out. Enjoy those fines as they rack up for you. We'll just play with some other guy. And then what happens if that other guy comes in and plays well? Brock Purdy's going to be sweating bullets out there during his holdout. To me, the worst thing you can do is give a ton of money to a guy whose play can't live up to that. And the more expensive these contracts for quarterbacks get, the better their play has to be to justify it. Like Daniel Jones with the Giants. What the hell are they doing? Giving him all that money. That's the fastest way to get bad, is to give a lot of money to a quarterback that can't live up to it. Look at the Cowboys. And Dak's not even a bad quarterback, but they're paying him so much money, they haven't done anything this offseason because they don't want to extend him and give him any more money, but he's taken up so much of the damn cap that they can't do anything this year. So that's why I would be willing to wait if I were the 49ers.
And it's not like the 49ers need an elite quarterback to win games. Like, we saw it with Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw that when they have an elite defense and playmakers around them, that Kyle Shanahan can get the best out of guys like Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you're really looking, like, you could, Kyle Shanahan could probably lead a team to the playoffs with a guy like Baker Mayfield or a guy like Geno Smith, who are getting paid $33 to $25 million. Also, when you draft well, if you do truly draft well, you could find another guy that's a lot cheaper. So, like, reality is, I don't mind Brock Purdy getting paid, but you better be 100% convinced that he could lead your team with the depleted roster. And if he can't, that's a big issue. Like, truly, like, because in a few years, right, Kittle's probably retired. Debo's going to be gone after the next 2 years, no matter what. So now you have Brandon Ayuk, a lot of younger guys, probably no Trent. Can he lead? Like, everyone talks about how the Niners need an elite offensive line for Brock Purdy to win. Like, that's the biggest conversation on social media right now, that if the Niners don't have an elite O-line, Brock isn't that good. So if that's the case, where do you get your O-line from?
Good question. Not having to pay a quarterback.
And the thing is with the roster building, I'm at, like, because I know you're into all this stuff and everything like that. Like, with the roster building, right, O-line is one of the most important behind quarterback. But I think a quarterback is as good as his offensive line is, because we've seen quarterbacks look great behind offensive lines when they're elite offensive lines. For example, every year Dak has had a good offensive line. They have a great running game, and he looks even better than what he truly is. So I don't know. Like, the biggest conversation is the Niners need O-line. That's why Brock didn't play great in the Super Bowl. Do you think that's the case, Rob?
I think he actually doesn't get enough credit for playing behind the offensive line. Like, I don't think the offensive line was good this year at all. I think Brock made up for a lot of the shortcomings of the offensive line, to be honest with you. Like I think of that play in Jacksonville with that touchdown, that long touchdown to Kittle, where, like, he's getting drilled and he puts the ball right on the money. There were plays where he would scramble out and extend, make plays under pressure. There would be quick pressure. He'd get the ball out. Honestly, I think if they had a less mobile quarterback in there, we would have been screaming and howling about the offensive line all year long this year. I don't think Brock gets enough credit for that.
I agree with you, but also when I watch Brock's film, like when I watch Niners film, I do see Brock walk into a lot of pressures. Like a lot of times, like even in the Super Bowl, like a lot of people are killing the offensive line, but I felt like Brock truly does walk into pressures and stuff like that. So it's like there's things that I want to see from Brock take that next level. For me, if Brock does that this year and he's doing what he did like last year, like obviously what he did carry the Niners in the NFC Championship. That second half, he carried them, like put him on his back and say, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl kind of thing. So if he could do that again this year, then I think you pay him the $40 million. I think it's worth the $40 million. But if he doesn't live up to what he was, MVP conversation, I wouldn't pay him. I would go truly look for a quarterback and wouldn't even mind potentially trying to trade Brock Purdy and then, hey, calling up Deion Sanders. And I know Nicho just said it right there. I was literally just thinking the same thing. He said, I would call up Deion Sanders and say, hey, I know your son doesn't want to play for certain teams. Would you want to play for the Niners?
Well, I want to be clear, too. If it was $40 million, I would do it for Brock right now. My thing is, I think it's going to be closer to 50 or 60. And that's what worries me. If you told me they could get him for $40 million a year, I probably would do it. But I think it's going to be more than that. That's really what worries me. So I feel like, I mean, if I'm his agent, I ask, obviously, for market rate, right? Because it's not about who's the best quarterback. It's about the quarterback that's up at whatever time they're up at. They always become the highest paid guy. That's how Kirk Cousins ended up getting all the money that he's gotten. If it was 40, great. 50, 60, that's where I start to get scared. And I think it's going to be more than 40. I would imagine if they signed Brock, do you think it would be more than $40 million a year?
Oh, guaranteed. If his agent's smart, his agent's starting at 65. Yeah. Okay, Burrow's at 55, so start at 65. You end up coming down back to that 60 range. Like, you're really not, like, you're going to, if you're Brock Purdy and you have an elite year, you're resetting the market. No, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I don't, what's the next quarterback coming up on a contract?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
I'm not too sure. Any quarterback, I think everyone's locked up for the next couple of years. Jordan Love, maybe?
Lamar got his deal already. Yeah, maybe Jordan Love. I mean, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen with Dak because he's in the last year of his contract. It's a good point. Yeah,
you're looking at 60 mil. I'm not touching anything over 40, 45 to 50. I'm not touching. Like, hey, leave me out of it because people are going to be like, oh, you're a Brock hater.
Right.
At that point, it's like, no, I'm not a Brock hater. I just understand what comes after truly paying a top quarterback who is it in the top four, top five quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't think he's in that range. And I'm only paying a quarterback 55 plus if they're in the top five. And I'm sorry, Brock isn't in that level yet.
Right. Should you pay a top five, a non-top five player at their position, any position, top five money? To me, the answer is no, whether it's quarterback or anybody else. Third string all pro says, Rob, don't pay Purdy. Also, Rob, Purdy made up for the O-line's deficiencies and doesn't get credit for that. Yeah, imagine that. Two things can be true at the same time. That's not a contradictory statement. You can compliment a player and still say they don't deserve $50 to $60 million a year. I know that might be hard for some people to keep in their head at the same time, but two things can be true. Those two statements don't contradict one another.
Absolutely. You can have them both of them be true at the end of the day. Like, Brock does things to elevate the team, but he also doesn't do enough things to put that to like take truly, truly, like if Brock was elite, like a lot of people say, Rob, to be honest with you, he would have won the Super Bowl. Like the offense at the end of the day, they scored 19 points, right? That's not good enough for a Super Bowl. At the end of the day, an elite quarterback, I understand with pressure in his face, is making that throw to Juwan Jennings. You pay a quarterback $60 million, that's making that throw. That's coming, like, that's my opinion. I know it may sound crazy because it's our franchise quarterback, but a $60 million quarterback is hitting that throw, winning the Super Bowl, and everyone's going crazy because he deserves the money.
And it's not just like maybe it's not like, oh, he gets the throw off quicker, or oh, he scrambles away from pressure. Maybe it's he figures out the blitz before the play even starts on audibles. Like, there are different ways that he could have succeeded in that instance. And unfortunately for the 49ers, they didn't. I still think they should have gone for it on fourth down there, but that's just me. But I think 187 nails it. It's Jed's money. And he said he's going to pay top dollar. And I think Jed, I mean, from his quote that we read, sounds like he's ready. He's ready to hand it over when the time comes.
And what's interesting about that is I wonder if Brock Purdy's agent comes in and is like, you know what? I want a fully guaranteed contract to my quarterback. You're willing to pay it. Are you going to do it now? Like, hey, you put your money where your mouth is. Just like Brandon Ayuk said, hey, money talks, BS walks, right? Like, hey, put your money where your mouth. You said it at the owner's meeting now. Like, I'm going to keep you to it because that's what his agent's going to do. And if his agent doesn't, his agent's not doing his job right.
I agree. And I also wonder if the agent is like, hey, you got to pay more too, because you've gotten this guy for peanuts for 4 years or 3 years. You know, I could understand the Niners being like, tough crap, it's not our problem. But if I'm the agent, like, I'm trying to make up for all that money.
Absolutely. When you look at the way the Niners operate, I don't see a way how if they wait on Brock Purdy's contract, right? Like they do with all their big name players. At what point do they have a situation where Brock requests a trade too? Like, or do they get that done right away because they want him to be the first quarterback to sign that year to get him on the cheaper contract?
It's a good question. For what it's worth, they got Jimmy done in February. They got Jimmy done like that. It was lightning quick. Cause I remember that was one of the things at that time I was thrilled. Like I bought into Jimmy Garoppolo after the five games. I was like, yes, I think we got something here. And then they got him done so fast. I was like, this is great. Like they must believe it. Like they didn't mess around. It was awesome. I don't know. And then if they do sign him quickly, is everybody else like, well, what the hell? You made us wait till August. Now you're signing this guy early.
It's weird because you want it. The quarterback's position, you want to get that done right away. Like same thing with Jimmy, like Jed said, he was the highest paid quarterback for what, 3 minutes roughly? Yeah. Like it was really fast, like a couple of days, I want to say. So with Brock, you definitely want to get him done as fast as you can, because eventually that contract's going to come in. You're going to have possibly Jared Goff, possibly Trevor Lawrence. So you're going to have a lot of contracts coming up. And if you get Brock done fast, those guys are going to surpass it, and it's going to make Brock's contract look kind of like a discount in a way.
Yeah, a couple years into the Jimmy deal, you were like, hey, it's not really that bad anymore because new guys are getting signed all the time. Modelo time 1999, shout out to Modelo and everybody on Twitch. We love the Twitch fam. They paid Jimmy G top quarterback money. Why wouldn't they pay Brock top quarterback money? I think in part because they paid Jimmy Garoppolo top quarterback money. Maybe it's possible. I would understand if they were a little hesitant at the time. Like they didn't need to sign Jimmy. They could have franchise tagged Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't do that. I don't know. Maybe they look back and they say, you know, maybe we've got this tool in our toolbox in the franchise tag. Why don't we use it this time instead of making the same mistake that we made with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah. And I think when they did sign Jimmy, I was kind of upset they did, just because it was five starts, even though I love Jimmy. When he went on that five game win streak. But I was like, you got to use every tool to your advantage. You got to get the most information before you pay someone that big. And with Brock, he at least has a full season, right? We've at least already seen a full season. And by then would have seen two seasons and hopefully three playoffs from Brock. But it's at the end of the day, it's what happens is when you get to that third, fourth year on that contract, if they continue to restructure him after the first year, like they have done, like Dallas has done with Dak, you're going to get to that point where year three, year four, his cap numbers are like in the 90s ranges, because they're going to keep restructuring like the Niners always do. And what ends up going to happening is they're going to be in a situation where you can't sign anyone, and you're going to be in a tough situation.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I don't like the restructure over and over and over again. That's a bad cycle to get into that I don't really love. I was glad that they didn't restructure Armstead. Like, let Armstead go. You know, it's fine. You got to cut these guys off a year too early rather than a year too late. Roadhog 228, thank you very much for the super chat, says, it's crazy to say you don't pay Brock because of the Super Bowl with so many quarterbacks getting paid with no Super Bowl appearance, or to say, what if he gets hurt? Almost all rookie quarterbacks got hurt last year. It happens. Yes, I understand that it happens, and I understand that anybody could get hurt. But if Brock did get hurt, like Marco said earlier, now you're talking about a guy that's had major injuries in two out of the three seasons that he was the starting quarterback. That would be someone I would be a little hesitant of paying. Yeah, some guys get hurt more than other guys. Obviously, there's an injury risk with everybody. But like we saw with Jimmy Garoppolo, like hurt guys get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. The reason why I said I don't pay him based off of the Super Bowl is those quarterbacks that have gotten paid because of and without getting to Super Bowl or struggling in the playoffs, guess what? They shouldn't have gotten paid. Like, Dak shouldn't have gotten paid what he got paid. It's just, unfortunately, the quarterback market is so outrageous that some teams, they get a average level quarterback or above average level quarterback, and they're like, you know what? Let's pay him. We don't want to go into quarterback purgatory. Mm-hmm. We need to get a quarterback right now. So we need to keep the quarterback. And it's doing it the wrong way, in my opinion. So just because a quarterback doesn't get to the Super Bowl, it doesn't mean that they should have gotten paid. Like, I don't think Dak should have gotten paid. I don't think Kyler Murray should have gotten paid.
Yep.
I don't think Jalen Hurts should have got paid off of that 1 year. Like, I think they shouldn't have gotten paid, and I think you could make a mistake by doing so.
Quarterback purgatory is better than quarterback jail because quarterback purgatory has flexibility. If you're changing your starter every year, you have the flexibility to change your starter every year. If you're locked into a guy that you know ain't it, that's the worst. That's why I gave the Rams so much credit for getting rid of Jared Goff when they did and taking, at the time, the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history. And oh, by the way, what happened? They got Matthew Stafford and immediately won the Super Bowl. So, like, if you have a guy that you know isn't good enough, move heaven and earth to get off of that guy. I would rather roll the dice with somebody that I don't know if they're good enough than stick with somebody that I know ain't it.
Absolutely. That's 100%. Everything you said is pinpoint perfect on quarterback purgatory and quarterback jail.
It's crazy because I think it's hard for a lot of people to say Brock has played the quarterback position better than any 49ers quarterback in years. And that's indisputable since Jeff Garcia, really, but also not want to pay him. It's like, how could you not want to re-sign that guy? He's been the best quarterback we've had in a long time, but they're two separate things. And I think it's hard for a lot of people to look at it like that.
Well, yeah, of course you're going to have of course he's going to be the best quarterback we've had since Jeff Garcia. Like, look, it's truly, like, if we were to put together a list of 49ers quarterbacks, it's all trash. Like, let's be straight up. Like, it's since I've watched the 49ers growing up, the Niners have not had a quarterback that has been good. Like, they've been good enough to pay. Like, so it's not like that he's better than Steve Young. The Niners have not had quarterbacks since Jeff Garcia. Even Jeff Garcia, I wouldn't have paid major money. Like, it's not like it's a big deal that he's better than every quarterback since Jeff Garcia.
That's true. You're talking Colin Kaepernick. You're talking Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith. God, I remember Troy Smith and Cody Pickett and JT O'Sullivan. JT, James, no disrespect. Hill. I love you. Yeah, Sean Hill, that's right.
Niner fans would, honestly, Rob, what's crazy is Niner fans would have probably been calling to play Sean Hill because he got a 10-6 record.
Nick Mullins, Sean Hill, like, yeah, it'll be interesting. Do you think they're going to draft a quarterback this year? Because I think they are at some point.
They should. And if it depends on where they draft one. I mean, if you're looking at mid-round, you could get a guy like Michael Pratt from Tulane. I think he's a really good quarterback. I think he's a starting level quarterback in the NFL. It's just one of those ones where if you look at Michael Pratt, if they take him in that third round where he's projected to go,
yeah, we know the 49ers history with the third round. It's prickly, to say the least. If it weren't for Fred Warner, it would be looking a lot uglier. It's, they don't have a good history there. I do think they need to take a quarterback. I don't care what round it is. Could be end of the draft. Could be. I doubt they take one early because they don't want any of that smoke. But I think that will happen. I'm so excited for the draft this year. They have picks. They have first round picks. I can look at mock drafts again, Marco, and I can dream.
Well, I mean, the Niners are technically taking Joshua Cardi from Stanford in the first round, a kicker. So you get used to it, Rob. You get used to it. And shout out to Diego in the chat saying, if Rob would have had me on, he probably would have voted for me in the March Madness. That's why exactly why I got bounced in the first round. Thanks, Diego. Thanks.
Diego is a YouTube channel member. Thank you to Diego and all our YouTube channel members. Shout out to you. If you want to become one, it's less than $3 a month. You get custom emojis, membership badges, priority comment response. So please, please do it. It's a great way to support the channel. Media Madness this year is bigger and better than ever. We are now into the Elite Eight. I was just bounced myself, unfortunately. Larry Krueger took me out of the bracket, much to my dismay. So we are in the Elite Eight. If you want to go vote, just go to our website, goldstandardniners.com, and place your vote. Don't do it now. This is our time. But that's where we are in the Elite Eight. Marco, I'm sorry you got bounced in the first round. That was not my intention. I randomized the matchups, so it wasn't like I, you know, crafted a path for anybody. Who did you lose to?
I'm so sure you had me going up against Michelle. Come on,
ooh,
Rob.
That's tough.
That was definitely set up for failure. I'm just
Mimosa
kidding.
Michelle.
Shout out to Michelle. I'm glad she won.
Yeah, that was a tough one for you. I heard from a lot of people. Al Sacco was like, how are you going to put me up against Croc in the first round? I was like, dude, I got to put somebody against him. but yeah, so it's down to Brad Graham against David Lombardi. Then it's Guy Haberman against Matt Maiocco. Vish knocked out Grant, and Vish is going up against the defending champ and Eric Crocker. And we have Matt Barrows and Larry Krueger. I don't know how this thing is going to shake out.
I'm low-key going for the underdog. Let's go Vish, man. Like,
yeah, great. Vish.
Like, let's go.
No, here's the thing. Nobody dislikes Croc. That's why he dominates this tournament. Even if you don't love Eric Crocker, nobody dislikes Croc. Like, I do a lot of things that tick people off, so I know I have no shot to win this thing. But Croc is a friggin' juggernaut, man.
Hey, he does. He's literally the golden boy. Like, he's literally, that's great content. Everything about Croc, there's nothing to dislike. So he's definitely probably going to go two times in a row and win it again, not going to lie.
The Brad Graham-David Lombardi matchup is really interesting to me because Lombardi has a huge following. Brad has a huge following. I feel like, I don't know, I don't have a good say on that right now. Brad Graham is up in the matchup against David Lombardi, 224 to 129 right now at last check. That might be a little out of date, but that's the last check I have. Brad's actually winning, which is pretty surprising because Lombardi's got a loyal, loyal audience.
I think Brad's going to win that one, man. I think there's a lot of people who truly respect what Brad's been doing over there. He's been obviously covered the combine, covered the Senior Bowl. Does a lot of things well over there. He has a big platform himself. He has actually had two platforms on. He got the Brad Graham, then he had his 49ers account. So he definitely has a big following as well. So shout out to everyone still in the, I believe, Elite Eight. Hope you guys all win it. Only one can, so see who wins it.
Here's the thing. So Croc won it last year, and I sent him a little trophy, Media Madness trophy. I'm sure I'll send him one this year. But if it's like Barrows or Lombardi or Maiocco that win it, like, are they going to give me their address to send him the trophy? Or are they going to be like, dude, I don't care?
Just send it to, if it's one of those guys, just send it to the Athletic or where they're at, or NBC Authentic, and they'll get it somehow.
That's true. I could do that. That's a good point. Okay. Let's get to the other thing that Jed York said, which was talking about success and how he defines success. And I give credit to Grant Cohn because he's the one that pointed this out. And it's a good point because I like when we hold owners accountable for what they say. Anybody, owners, GMs, coaches, because Jed famously said all those years ago, we don't hang NFC championship banners here. It's Super Bowl or bust. And yet this year, Jed said, even before the Super Bowl, well, if we had lost to the Lions, it still would have been a successful year. And he said at the owners' meetings this week, Marco, that it was a successful season in 2024. I see you shaking your head. Explain.
Yes, man, he's I get Jed York. He'd rather pay for NFC championship rings than Super Bowl rings. He'd rather get participation awards than hold up the Lombardi. I mean, I thought that was one of the most embarrassing things from the NFL owners meetings. How do you go from 10 years ago? It's always been about we win championships. Talked about how his uncle, and 10 years ago, he said this, my uncle built a foundation. We're going to continue building off that foundation of Super Bowl or bust mentality. And now you're saying, no, it's okay. You got to get him next year. Get him. Like, that's a participation mentality, and I'm not about it. I don't agree with anything Jed York said about, hey, as long as we win. You know what that's telling 49er fans? Keep sitting in my seats, paying for tickets. We're winning games. We have a good product on the field, but not good enough. Maybe next year. Keep sitting in the crowd. Like, I just don't. Like, okay, so you're all about the money and not the wins. That's essentially what he told us. Like, I'm willing to pay Brock because you're going to come sit in the stands to watch him for the next 10 years. So that $60 million I pay him doesn't matter. He may not ever win a Super Bowl for the 49ers. But guess what? As long as he gets to the playoffs, out of 9 out of those 10 years, it was successful. I thought it was ridiculous from Jed York because that's from the very top. Pretty much tells Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, you'll never be on the hot seat as long as you make the playoffs every other year.
Yeah, I think a lot of 49er fans reacted the way you reacted. I understand his thinking in that, like, we didn't win the Super Bowl. That doesn't mean nothing we did counts. But I also think when you're the 49ers and you've gone to two Super Bowls since 2019 and you were so close in 2019 and everything fell your way and you've been in this win now window and you've loaded up on contracts and you're kicking the can down the road and restructuring guys and really going all in to win a Super Bowl and you don't, that is a failure. Like, for example, last year's not a failure for the Lions, right? They've never been in the playoffs. They got all the way to the NFC Championship game. They were winning in the NFC Championship game at halftime. Like, not a failure for the Lions by any stretch. 49ers aren't the Lions. They're at a different point in their team building cycle than the Lions are. This was a failure. Last year, the whole season was Super Bowl or bust. Last year, without question, was a failure. It was fun. I enjoyed the hell out of it. They were a great, great team, but they failed. And I think that Jed should have acknowledged that. I really do. I understand what he was trying to say, but I think he missed the mark. I really do.
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I do get what he was trying to say. Essentially, like, you know what? We did what we wanted and we put ourselves in the dance, right? Like, we wanted to make the playoffs. We wanted to get to the Super Bowl to give ourselves a chance. Like, that's what you truly want to do. But the way he worded things, like, well, I didn't see it as a failure. But then what also made me upset is, like, he's saying the season was a success. But then, Rob, do you remember when he came out that week of the Super Bowl or the week before the Super Bowl and he, like, did his own media press day, was, like, wasn't even supposed to speak, but then he went on, like, this victory lap on how we were going to win the Super Bowl and it was Super Bowl City and I can't wait for a parade, Brock's the real deal. Like, he went and said all this and then he realized, oh, I messed up, one, by saying this stuff. Two, he realized the Niners aren't in a good situation to win a Super Bowl. They went all in. You don't go all in and push all your marbles to the center and say, I'm all in, lose the Super Bowl and say, well, at least we got there. Like, to me, I don't get it. Now when you start having to pay Brock, like, I get now you got to be in every year that you pay Brock. Like, you got to be all in. And every year you don't win with Brock is the Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl or bust year. Remember, Jed York also mentioned Super Bowls are won by quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Yep.
So if he truly believes in what he said and he believes that Brock is worth that money, every year the Niners should be all in. And it should be either a successful Super Bowl one season or an unsuccessful season because you're wasting the time of a Tom Brady and a Patrick Mahomes, according to Jed York.
And I think that Jed's point about, like, in order to win the Super Bowl, you have to get to the Super Bowl. That's true. Getting to the Super Bowl, like, that's not nothing. But for this team and this time in this era, it was different. getting to the Super Bowl in 2019, that was not a failure in 2019, right? They were awful for a long time after Jim Harbaugh left. And then, bam, they finally get to the Super Bowl. That's not a failure. But going to the NFC Championship game a couple times after that and not getting there, and then finally getting over the hump and tying the biggest comeback in the history of the NFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl this year, not winning this year is a failure. And there's a difference between those two things. And I think that he should have acknowledged that. He should have mentioned it, because I do think that over the past few years, there has been an element with this 49ers team of, well, we were the best team, but we didn't win, right? We were the best team against the Chiefs in 2019, but Mahomes went Mahomes and we didn't win. And then we were the best team in 2021, but, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo got banged up at the end of the year. The Rams beat us in the NFC Championship game. And then in 2022, we were the best team, but Brock Purdy got hurt and we lost all our quarterbacks in the NFC Championship game. Like, they were kind of living under this sort of delusion that even though they hadn't won a Super Bowl, they were still the best team in the league. And that's not a good message to send from the top. And I think that Jed should have said, like, hey, we failed this year. We failed this year, because that's over now. You know, like, they don't have that excuse anymore. They can't say that fiction this year. Brock was healthy. They had the number one seed, you know, all that stuff. And I think that that's the message that Jed should have sent.
Absolutely. Because one, your players are playing for a Super Bowl. Like, they all understood from Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, they're wasting a year every year they don't win a Super Bowl. Is this going to be the next quarter that just doesn't win a Super Bowl because the Niners can't win it? Like, Jed York, one, should have immediately said, you know what? It was a failure of a season because my head coach and the team didn't know the rules for overtime. Like, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. Two, you truly, like, I don't know. I just felt like it was very complacent in terms of, you know what? I extended Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch prematurely, kind of mentality. Hey, they've been winning games. They've been getting to the playoffs. Here's your reward for that. Like, no. You get rewarded for Super Bowls in the NFL, not for getting to the playoffs and losing in the NFC Championship or losing the Super Bowl. And I think for me, that's more concerning than anything, is Jed York is satisfied with just getting there. I'm not satisfied with getting there. Let's win the damn thing.
Remember when Jim Harbaugh wanted a new deal? What did Jed York say? He said he wants to be paid like a Super Bowl winning head coach and he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, which was true. Like, okay, that's fine. But yet Kyle Shanahan's gotten multiple extensions with the 49ers and he hasn't won a Super Bowl. So again, it kind of goes back to that shift in Jed that we're talking about. And it was Super Bowl or bust before, and now the standard is lower.
And I think that's where I think Jed's trying to mature as an owner, because he used to be a lot, like, very had a lot of input on general managers, head coach hiring and stuff like that. Obviously, he made the wrong decision when he let go of Harbaugh and kept Trent Baalke. And I think he learned from that. But I think at the end of the day, you still have to hold a high standard. And I think that's where it's getting lost, where he's trying to say, I matured. I'm a mature guy now. I don't get overexcited. I don't lose my cool when I punch the wall when we lose in the playoffs anymore. But at the same time, it's okay. That maturity level is different than holding a high standard. Yes, you matured, but your standard has came down during that maturity level. So that's where I'm confused by.
And I feel like, too, Jed's not going to be the guy that says, hey, Kyle, you failed, because then Kyle won't be his friend. And I really think that Jed just wants the head coach to think he's cool. Like, he wants to get invited to the parties that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have. I do think that's a part of it. I always got that vibe from Jed that he just wanted to sit at the cool kids table.
Yeah, he sure is now. I mean, he was with them in Cabo. He's hey, you made it. If that's what your goal was, to make it to Cabo with the Cabo click, you made it. But guess what? Uncle Eddie is disappointed because you're not winning Super Bowls.
What's your take on the Cabo click? Because I absolutely hate it, and I think that they should absolutely stop doing it.
It's weird. Like, why is your team clicky? Like, if you have a clicky team, that just shows your culture in the locker room, in my opinion. Like, why is your team so clicky? That's one, the ownership, general manager, and head coach's fault. Like, it should not be that way. And I think I love that the guys like Kittle, Juice, and them, I love that they hang out together and they have more than just a team friendship, like it's a more of an actual true friendship, but it's very clicky, and you could tell in the like locker room is a little divided.
I don't, if the players have their own cliques, that's one thing. The fact that the coach is involved, that's what bugs me. I don't like that the coach is part of the clique. The coach needs to be separate from the players. It's like labor and management, right? Like they're two very separate, distinct parts of an organization. They have to work together. They need to support one another. But management makes the decisions. Coaches coach, GMs GM, players play. They shouldn't be mingling. You shouldn't be going on vacation with your boss. No, I don't like it. I really, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's healthy for the locker room. If I was not in the clique, every time a decision got made, I would be wondering like, you know, did the clique have influence over this? I mean, we've seen the clique got Trey Lance kicked off the field in 2021. Like, I would not like this at all if I was in that locker room.
Do you think Brandon Ayuk gets invited to the clique, the Cabo clique, once he gets extended?
No, if you're not in it now, I don't think he's in it. And like, you think Brandon Ayuk was wondering about that when Debo's getting 11 targets in the Super Bowl and he's sitting here like, what the hell do I have to do to get the damn ball? Like, I'm sorry. I don't think it's a good thing for the 49ers.
I think it's terrible for the Niners. Like, I truly do. Because like you said, like, you definitely see favoritism from Kyle. Like, he's always had his guys, right? Like, so it's one of those ones, and it's interesting. Obviously, the Trey Lance situation, his rookie year where everyone, like the coaching staff wanted Trey Lance to play, but then we heard that George Kittle and some of the other guys on the team wanted Jimmy to play because that was their boy. Like, that's weird. Like, oh, so now you're letting your group dictate who plays and who doesn't play. That to me is pretty wild as a head coach.
It's crazy to me that they put the Trey Lance package in. It was working for the 49ers. They were scoring touchdowns with it. And the players complained in the first place, number one. It wasn't like, well, it wasn't working, and then they pounced on it. Like, no, they pounced on it even when it was working, and that the coaches listened to them. That blows my mind that that happened. And everybody just was like, thought it was okay. Like, Kyle's never even actually been asked about that in public. He has never been asked about it at a press conference. Hey, Kyle, did the veterans go to you and complain about Trey Lance in 20? They've never even asked him about it, even though all the beat writers now acknowledge that it happened, yet none of them thought it would be a good idea to ask the head coach about it when it was occurring.
Yeah, and that's what was interesting is, like, everyone, like, it just blew my mind. Like, you're there to do a job in the press conference. Some of them ask good questions. Some of them are, like, are afraid to ask the question. It's like, dude, just ask the question. Like, when I was covering Stanford and they're getting ready to fire David Shaw, I was the first one, hey, is this your last game? Like, what's up? Like, how do you feel about this being your last game? Like, it's or one of your last, potentially last games. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to get the truth and report the way it should be reported. And now we're not saying you and I both aren't saying like, oh, we thought Lance was good. We just, the process of how he let players dictate Jimmy playing over Lance, his rookie year is what we're talking about. Not necessarily Lance being good or not.
100% agree. The process was bad, and it was just clicky and ugly. And yeah, the whole thing I think is really weird. I don't hear about that happening with any other team. I don't hear about Randy Reid taking a bunch of players out for the Chiefs and going on vacation to Cabo with them and hanging out. Like, no, it's a weird, weird situation. Okay. Wow, this show has gone by fast. Let me just tell you.
Absolutely.
45 minutes in. Marco, you are somebody that I feel like doesn't get enough credit, because if you follow Marco on Twitter or X at Marco_Mart1205, you will find out things about the 49ers sometimes before they happen. You have a lot of sources. You talk to people. People talk to you. Just because you don't have the word insider in your job title, people don't think you have sources. You absolutely do. And it's something I don't think you get enough credit for.
I really appreciate that, Rob. That really means a lot coming from a guy like you, especially with the platform you have. I really do appreciate that. It's crazy because people – just because you don't have a big following or you don't have that insider in your name, they don't think just like they see you differently, I guess. But I really appreciate that from you.
Oh, no worries. I don't know how that I have a platform that's bigger than anybody else. It's certainly not the biggest out there by any stretch of the imagination, although we're doing everything we can. Is there anything you know right now that maybe a lot of 49er fans don't know that you can share with us as I put you on the spot?
No, usually I try, what I try to do is I make sure I tweet it out or I get it out there. I don't like to keep anything from anyone. Like whatever I hear is what I hear. And whether it's people don't realize like things move so fast. So for example, if I get a text message right now, right, within the next 25 minutes, it could have a change. So like once we're off the show, mm-hmm. like I follow up, like, hey, is this still happening? It could be completely like, you know what? Niners are completely done with that conversation they've had with the team. I know they have called on cornerback from Greg Newsom from Cleveland Browns. I cannot
Newsom.
So I know they've called on him. I know they've done like a brief conversation. They have not taken anything from any teams in terms of, I know I saw 17th pick overall being offered. That was BS. Like right away, like the guy I talked to was like, he laughed. Like literally, I was on the phone with him. He laughed. He's like, what? He's like, no team has ever offered anything because the Niners aren't letting anyone offer. They just right away say, no, he's not available. Bye. Like, so not really. I would say that the Brandon Ayuk situation on Twitter or social media is a lot more blown up than what's going on behind the scenes. That's for sure. At least from what I've heard. That's the biggest thing that I really have right now.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That's reassuring that it's not, it's pretty chill behind the scenes. That's good. Sometimes it's not like that with the 49ers and negotiations. I thought Vish brought up a good point on Monday. He said, this whole like Brandon Ayuk contracts thing is an opportunity for him to get talked about in a way that he isn't really talked about that much. Cause it's always Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle and Bosa and Warner. Like he doesn't get a lot of attention and love. And this contract situation is a way where he can get love in from national media sources that he hasn't gotten. And I think that's kind of true.
And Vish is absolutely right on that. Like if you think about how the NFL views Ayuk, like in general, they don't talk about him as a top 10 receiver, right? Like he's on a run first offense. He's really good. No, he wants everyone to know, wait, I'm a top 10 receiver. Mm-hmm. Like don't mess with me just because I'm on a, like he said it last year, I'm on a run first team and I'm the fourth option and I hit 1,000 yards. Like if we were to give him true targets, he's up there in the top five in terms of yards per game, yards in a season, touchdowns. I love that Vish said that because that's true.
And I think that I agree with you in that Ayuk wants people to see him that way. And one of the ways people start to see you that way is if you are paid that way, because the team will tell you what they think of you. They'll tell you what they think your worth is by what they offer to you. And so I'm sure he wants top 10 money because he thinks he's a top 10 wide receiver. And if he were to agree to a contract that was less than that, it's sort of like him admitting that he's not that guy. And I don't think that's something that he's going to do and he shouldn't do.
Yeah, absolutely shouldn't. And what's crazy is I see a lot of people always talk about like, oh, how are we going to pay two elite receivers, Ayuk and Debo? Well, the thing is, if you do extend Ayuk, it drops his number from 14 to around 4 to 5. Mm-hmm. So he's not expensive this year. And then you have an out on Debo next year. You could trade him. So it's not really, you're not really paying two expensive receivers year one of Ayuk's contract. You're paying you, it would be the second year where it would increase and then you potentially move Debo. And if we're being honest, you rather would pay the elite route runner versus the gadget guy who can't create separation and stuff like that. For example, if Ayuk would have been the primary target in the Super Bowl, Niners are probably champions because he could beat man coverage and he was actually whooping both corners' butts during the Super Bowl.
That's the thing I don't understand is that why did the 49ers not see that?
And I think, too, it's Brock Purdy. Like, then, like, okay, I get Kyle Shanahan's calling the plays, but like again, from the beginning, we're talking about Brock being that elite, high-paid level quarterback. You should know what they're in. They're in man coverage. They're sending pressure. Who should be your go-to guy? Not Debo. Like you should see this. And even like, so I don't know. It's definitely, I'm definitely paying Ayuk. I think Ayuk is, if I did a ranking with Josh Harper, former NFL receiver, played for the Raiders, Fresno State legend, played with, on the same team as Devontae Adams. We did a ranking and he actually had Brandon Ayuk as a top 12 receiver in the NFL. And I think that's about route where he is based off of last year. And he could put himself easily in the top 10 after this coming season.
And I think that the part of the reason the 49ers gave the contract to Debo that they gave him, a very short-term contract, is because they knew that this scenario might be coming down the road. I think the 49ers knew there is a chance that Debo does not blossom into this, you know, all-around, well-rounded wide receiver, and that we will want to get out of his contract when Brandon Ayuk's contract comes up. I think there's a reason they gave Debo a very short-term contract when they gave it to him, because they wanted to avoid the situation where they would have to pay big money to two receivers at the same time. And luckily for them, they have avoided that situation.
Yeah, they absolutely avoided the situation, and they put themselves in a great spot when it comes to the receiver situation, because now you have Jennings as your receiver three, who's making around $4.5 million, and you could essentially extend Juwan Jennings after next season and let Debo walk or trade Debo. And I think Jennings is a legit number two. Like, he could truly be a number two. We saw him in the Super Bowl. He was playing really good football in that Super Bowl. So I definitely think the Niners have themselves in a good situation, especially with Ronnie Bell, who played good as a rookie. You're also probably going to draft the rookie. So they're in a good spot. I know a lot of people are mad or frustrated that the Niners are going to have to get rid of Debo, but that's what's looking likely, and probably won't be this season, but next season you're probably moving Debo.
I feel like people will be mad when it happens, and when they see that the offense is going to be okay without him next year, like they'll get over it real fast. But they'll be mad in the off season, and then they'll be fine once the games start.
Oh, absolutely. What's crazy is I literally tweeted earlier today, like right before the show. I've been watching a lot of Texas, Adonai Mitchell. And if he's there at 31, there's no way Kyle passes up on him. No way. Like if he's there at 31, Kyle probably takes a receiver, Adonai Mitchell at 31. Reminds me a lot of CeeDee Lamb, who Kyle loved during that draft. He has a lot of insight on Texas because he was at Texas and he's really good friends with the head coach. So you could essentially be replacing Debo in this draft with, you want a rookie to come in. Kyle usually puts him in a doghouse. He's going to learn the offense. He's going to have that 1 year to get ready for the following year, and it's going to be something that the Niners probably should do.
I completely agree with you. I know a lot of people talked about Malachi Corley as like a potential Debo guy. I don't know anything. I don't pretend to be a scout. I don't watch college football during the regular season because I'm locked into the NFL. I know that was a name that brought up. You're shaking your head. I'll take your word for it.
Good player. I'm not saying he's not a good player. They're a really good player, but it's, I want to go get a route runner opposite of Brandon. Right. Ayuk. Go get a route runner. Like, let's go get away from that gadget kind of receiver. Now it's cool, but that's what you have running backs for. You could find, there's a receiver from Texas Willington. He's kind of like the Debo hybrid. He's more of a running back body, but he plays receiver. You could get him in like the seventh round. So it's like, if you're going to go get a gadget guy, go get one at the end of the round, or even the running back from Texas A&M who plays receiver as well. Don't waste a high pick on Malachi Corley, which is in the second, when he can't run great routes.
It's easier to find a guy that can be a gadget player for you later in the draft than it is to find a wide receiver, like a very well-rounded wide receiver, a guy that can get open against zone, a guy that can get open against man. And I think hopefully the 49ers realize that. But we'll see. We got a long way to go before the NFL draft. What do we got? About 30 days, I think it is. Something like that.
Actually, exactly 29, because it's the 28, because it's the 25th or 26th of April.
So there you go. We will be there for you. We're going to start our draft preview on Friday with Michelle. I think we're going to look at tackles this Friday coming up. I'm also going to do a show with Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros. We tried to do it last week, but we couldn't. We got our wires crossed, but we're going to do it this week too. So plenty of draft coverage coming up here at the Gold Standard. Again, like and subscribe. Like and subscribe to Clutch Gene Sports as well. Marco, this was a ton of fun, man. I'm so glad you were able to do it. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me on. That episode with Thor is going to be a phenomenal episode. He definitely will be talking about when it comes to the NFL draft. I'm excited for that one. I'll definitely be watching that one because he has a lot of good stuff to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't pretend to be a draft expert, but I like to talk to people that know a lot more than me, and hopefully he's the first of many on the Gold Standard. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk soon.